Okay, well, we're further along in our series. This is part six of the first seven series. If you would please open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 20. Long sermon today, so we're going to get blowing and going and right into it. This morning we're going to take a deeper look into the moniker that is assigned to the Lord Jesus by one of his disciples named Thomas. Thomas, if you've read this episode that we're going to be in today, you'll remember that after the crucifixion, Thomas had a pretty pessimistic view, pretty pessimistic outlook of all that was going on. After the resurrection, you'll remember Jesus appeared to his disciples with all present and accounted for except Thomas, who was not there. He missed what may have been the most profound event in all of human history, the appearance of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas missed that great big encounter with the risen Christ, manifested before eyewitnesses, providing himself, proving himself to be victorious over sin and death and the grave and darkness and evil and all of that stuff. When the others find him, when they find Thomas, his doubt speaks up. He says, I just don't think I'm going to believe unless I touch his wounded hands and side. I just can't get there. He's kind of a modern day. There are a lot of people these days. Show it to me, prove it to me, and then and only then will I receive it as truth. So he absolutely has come around in the 21st century in mindsets of a lot of people. So anyway, a few days later, the same room as before, with the doors locked, Jesus materializes again right there with his now still in hiding disciples, and he challenges Thomas to stop unbelieving and start fully believing in him, the risen Christ. We're going to enter the scene, John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. John 20, 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, which means twin, Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place, of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came. What a cool word. Jesus came, the doors having been shut. This place is locked up. They're locked in, and Jesus is there among them, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, this is Greek baby talk, okay? Reach here with your finger and see my hands. It really is, it's baby talk, really is. Reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed." There, verse 28, that top verse, Thomas gives the world the sixth moniker in our set of seven, the sixth moniker found in John's Gospel, Jesus, our Lord and our God. Dr. Harry Ironside, one of the great preachers of yesteryear, longtime pastor of Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, Illinois, writes about this John 20 meeting. Harry Ironside says, "We do not read that he, Thomas, attempted to reach out his hand, but the sight of the risen Savior was enough, and he exclaimed, 'My Lord and my God,'" right? No evidence that he actually touched there, the sight of the Lord. And what did Jesus say? Did he say, "You must not call me God. I'm only the Son of God. Don't do that. That was a great mistake. Did he do that? That is what he ought to have said if the Unitarian is right. Little gouge at his Unitarian friends. But what did he say? Thomas had called him my Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen and yet have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. In other words, Thomas called Jesus Lord and God, and Jesus did not deny his declaration.
Amen.
He did not deny that. The people Jesus refers to with that term, they, next to the last line, blessed are they. You know who that is? That's us. That's you and me. And we who have believed in him as your Savior, as their Savior. If you have, by God's grace, placed your faith in Jesus as your Savior, then you're one of these people that are mentioned right here. In other words, you made it into the Bible. I think that's pretty cool. This morning we're going to ponder the extent of Thomas' confession. Last week we looked at Jesus as king and we studied the ramifications of that. Today we're going to take a look at the extent of Thomas' confession. We ask the Spirit of God to help us discover what that same confession demands of us. If we declare Jesus our Lord and our God, what does that demand of us? If you claim Christ in that way, what are the personal implications? What are the responsibilities for those who claim him as Lord of God, Lord and God? What does Jesus deserve from me if I claim him, if I proclaim him to be both my Lord and my God? When Thomas confesses that Jesus was his Lord, he's acknowledging something that Jesus claimed seven chapters earlier in John's Gospel. Back to John chapter 13, verse 13. It's at the end of the Passover meal, just after he washes the disciples' feet. And Jesus says there, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." By the way, that not so veiled declaration of deity, "for I am," it's right out of the Old Testament. In John 13, Jesus claims the title of Lord right there, right? He claims it right there. And then over into John, back into John chapter 20, when Thomas offers it again, Jesus doesn't turn it down. He does not turn it down. He receives it as truth because it is the truth. Romans 14:9, the Apostle Paul writes, "For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." Both of the dead and of the living. And you know, that pretty well covers everybody. You know, statistics prove that you're one or the other. Every person from every era and all time is either living or dead. Living or dead. And at this very moment, each one of you in this room is either living or dead. Quick, poke the person next to you and make sure they're on this side of dead. So, the end goal of Jesus' death and resurrection was so that you and I and everybody living or dead, he's going to do exactly what Thomas did in John chapter 20, verse 28, which is to claim him as Lord and proclaim him as Lord. Philippians 2, starting in verse 9, reads this way, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." If you have physical and or spiritual knees, then these verses apply to you. Right? Every knee physical or spiritual. You don't have to have legs to have spiritual knees. You can bow before the Lord. These verses apply to you if that's the case. Jesus Christ did what he did, and the Heavenly Father did what he did. He exalted the Lord Jesus Christ so that you might claim and call on him as your Lord. Okay, when you arrive today, I forgot to talk with whoever's ushering. Are there any bulletins left in the back there? You know, we're out of bulletins. Okay, that's tough luck. If you didn't get a bulletin, so let us know. Write that on the back of your program. We'll print 5 more for next week if we need to. If you have your bulletin, please, or your insert, your note page, please take it out. Take out your outline. Wherever you come to the Word, you got an extra? Somebody need one? We have an extra over here. One in the back, way in the back. Just pass it back. It'll get there. Anybody else have an extra? Okay, hold up your hand if you need one. Here's one. The lovely Maria Quilini needs one. That's her Italian bombshell name. Okay, whenever you come to the word our, mark it out, put in the word my. Whenever you come to the word our, mark it, mark through it, strike through it, and write in the word my. Like that. Jesus, my Lord and my God. All the way through your outline. Every time you come to it, strike out the word our, write in its place the word my. In other words, personalize your intent. Personalize your intent like Thomas. Write down your responsibilities. There will be homework coming up. Be sure you take your outline home, because it doesn't matter if you write all this stuff, unless you have like a photo memory or a cell phone, you take a picture of it. Take that home so that you can use it as a reminder of your intentions. And if you're married, your spouse can hold it up and say, look, here's what you said you were going to do. Now get busy on it. Remember Jesus' words to Thomas in John 20, verse 27. Stop not believing and start believing. Stop not believing and start believing. That's the very first step that you got to take, that you must take for the fact that of Jesus being Lord to have a real and full impact in your life. First step. For Jesus to be your Lord, he must first be your Savior. For Jesus to be your Lord, he must first be your Savior. You must claim him and him alone as your only way to heaven. Okay, now to your outline. As my Lord, Jesus deserves myself, my stuff, and my service. Do not write those in the blanks because they don't start with D. He deserves myself, my stuff, and my service. As my Lord, first, Jesus deserves my dedication. He deserves my dedication. Me, myself, and I. Romans 6, verse 12. A great chapter, Romans 6, on dedication. Chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So then, shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be, ever. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves or for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart, and that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Sanctification. In other words, Jesus wants all of Ed. And Jesus wants all of each of you and all of us together. He wants it all. He wants your body. He wants your mind. He wants your will to be absolutely, unconditionally, and fully devoted to Him. 1 Kings 8 says it like this, verse 61. Let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day. As my Lord, Jesus deserves my dedication. He deserves it. And He demands it in a good way. Next, as my Lord, He deserves my devotion. That'd be myself and my stuff. As my Lord, Jesus deserves my devotion. Now we're talking about not only ourselves, but the things that we have, the stuff that we own, our possessions, our assets. In Old Testament times, lots of stuff, many things were devoted unto the Lord. The firstborn of the family, flock, field, were often devoted to the Lord, some for service and others for sacrifice. The tools and implements of sacrifice were devoted to the Lord. The temple was devoted to the Lord. In the book of Joshua, some of the spoils of the battle of Jericho were to be devoted into the treasury of the Lord. One reason God blesses you is so that you take the opportunity of demonstrating your dedication, right? So that you will take the opportunity of demonstrating your dedication to Him. And you do that by devoting those things with which He blesses you back to Him. By devoting those things with which He blesses you back to Him for His purposes and His plans. They're all His anyway, right? They're all His anyway. You devoting back that which He blesses you, what you do, in other words, with your stuff becomes a yardstick, a tape measure, a scale of your dedication to the Lord Jesus. What do you do with your stuff is a measure of your devotion to the Lord Jesus. Mark 10, verse 17. As He was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to Him and knelt before Him and asked Him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call Me good? No one is good except God alone." In other words, are you calling Me God? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all of these from my youth up." Looking at Him, Jesus felt a love for Him and said to Him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all your stuff, all your possessions, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow Me." But at these words, He was saddened, and He went away grieving, for He was one who owned much property. He had a lot of stuff. And Jesus, looking around, said to His disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at His words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." they were even more astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began saying to him, "Behold, we have left everything to follow you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake or for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So the way to heaven is following after the Lord Jesus. The way to heaven is to follow after him. But our stuff, what we own, our lifestyle, and even our plans, our dreams, our futures, our hopes, must be within his vision for the world, for them to be blessed. One thing more in this section: as my Lord, Jesus deserves my duty. My duty, that's service. He deserves my service. He deserves your service as well. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" If you claim Jesus as your Savior, then that dedication must and will reflect in your duty of service. It absolutely will. That means active in ministry. It means actively obedient to the in following the commands of Scripture, specifically the commands of Christ. Jesus, he did a lot of commanding. There are a lot of imperatives that he speaks forth in the gospel. A lot of commands. And in his time on earth, he camped on three. He camped on three, and we're going to look at those. If you and I will do these three commands on purpose, all the rest are going to be filled in. We'll fulfill all the rest. Here they are, the three biggies: the great commandment, the new commandment, and the great commission. The great commandment, the new commandment, and the great commission. Here they come. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 29, the great commandment. Jesus answered, "The foremost," that's the great one, "is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." That's the great commandment. John 13:34 is the new commandment. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." By the way, love is a verb there. It is an active verb. It is an active present tense verb, which means it continues. The function of the present tense in Greek is continuous activity. Continuous activity. This is present tense. Love and keep on loving. In other words, perform acts of love toward one another. Perform acts of love. It's not the fuzzy feeling inside, although fuzzy feeling inside is good, but it is actually performing, it is doing love. And the Great Commission, Matthew 28, beginning in verse 19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." As my Lord, as your Lord, Jesus deserves my dedication, my devotion, and my duty. Myself, my stuff, and my service. And he deserves yours too. He does. So how are you doing on that? How are you doing with your stuff, yourself, your service? Have you come to that place in your life of faith and as a follower of Christ that you demonstrate that Jesus is your Lord, that you demonstrate Jesus as your Lord, Here's some homework. First round, write it on the back. Write it on anything else. Put it on your phone. Punch it in your phone. Write it on the back of your hand. Three things. We'll have more a little bit later. Write out how each of these ought to look in your own life. Your dedication, your devotion, and your duty. Write it out. Each day, then, plan your day so that Jesus' Lordship is obvious in your life. Start the day, Lord, I intend to carry this out with you going before me. Third, live out your plan. Activate your devotion. And with that, there are going to be unexpected opportunities. When you get serious about this, God is going to give you unexpected opportunities that will show up, and you will have opportunities that you didn't expect to live on purpose for Him, who is your Lord. Okay, as my Lord, He deserves my dedication, my devotion, and my duty. Next in your outline, as my God, Jesus deserves my worship, my walk, and my witness. Those fit the blanks in your outline. It took a while, but finally the followers of Jesus came around to realizing who Jesus really was and is still. God come into His creation and for His people, He came to His people in the flesh. God in flesh. God incarnate in the flesh. Deity in humanity. We know several times that Jesus received worship. One of those occasions we celebrate coming up in December. We call it Christmas. The event that we look at a lot of times in the December, the Advent season, is the visit of the Magi from the East. Matthew chapter 2. You didn't realize you're going to get Christmas today, did you? After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. So this is a little bit later. They're now in a house. They're not in a cave. They saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell on the ground and worshipped him. This is the Greek word proskuneo. They proskuneoed him. Pros meaning toward, kuneo, to kiss. I mean, they bow really low. Here's the pattern. You bow really low, and you just barely look up over your eyelids, and you kiss toward the conquering hero. They proskuneoed him. They worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In John 14, one of my favorite scenes in the entire Bible, as Jesus walked on water and he stilled the seas, it says in verse 32, then when they got into the boat, that's he and Peter, when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat proskuneoed him. They worshipped him. And they said, certainly you are God's son. Twice in Matthew 28, he receives worship from the women at the tomb and later from the 11. In John chapter 9, there's an important informing moment there from an occasion when Jesus received worship based on him revealing who he really is. Turn there for just a second. John chapter 9. This is an account of when Jesus heals a man born blind. The man is taken before a group of Pharisees. He is interrogated there. Finally, in frustration, they throw him out of the temple. And we are going to pick up the story in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He worshipped him. Jesus deserves my worship. So, okay, this is going to get sticky now. What are your personal devotions life like? What's your worship like? Are they healthy? How healthy are they? Do you take time during your day, over the course of the day, to worship the Lord Jesus, your God? When in your devotions you worship, do you tend to focus mostly on worshiping God the Father and leave God the Son and God the Holy Spirit out? Corporate worship. It takes a lot of concentration. There are a lot of distractions in corporate worship, and our enemy will do the very best that he can do to distract us. How's your focus in worship? Together as a body of believers and apart as individuals out in the world, Jesus, my God and yours, deserves our worship. He absolutely deserves it. He also deserves to be pleased by my walk. My walk. In the New Testament, the way we walk means how we live our lives. How we walk means how we live our lives. There's some great passages. We're going to look at three. We're going to bullet three here. First, we're to walk in newness. Romans 6:4, back to Romans 6. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We're to walk in newness. That means wherever applicable, you should stop living like unbelievers. Gulp. None of you do that, right? None of you like ever live like an unbeliever? Sure. And start living like true believers all the time. Too often, we saturate our minds with secular sludge. We do that to the point that it clouds our thinking. It negatively impacts the way we live. You know, the old garbage in, garbage out is right. The mercies of God are new every morning, Lamentations 3. Jesus wants us to walk in our new life and his new mercies day after day after day. Second, we're to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:4, we walk by faith and not by sight. We're supposed to be walking through life confident that Jesus will provide all that we need for every one of his purposes as we go through our lives. But there are days when we walk away from the walk of faith and walk solely by sight. And that's when we usually get afraid. We saw it in Strongman this past week. Peter, chapter 14 of Matthew and Mark, chapter 6, saw the wind. And he got afraid. We see the wind. We get afraid rather than focusing on walking by faith and not by sight. Shows up maybe most of the time in our finances. If we trust in God, we say, I've got this amount of money coming in, and it's just not enough. But our Lord and our God, the Lord Jesus, has promised to provide for all of our needs. Needs, not wants. We can trust him in every circumstance, and he deserves us to walk by faith. Third, we're to walk in the Spirit. We're to walk by the Spirit. What does that mean? It means this. As we live out our days, we are to release control into the loving, guiding, able hands of God the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 encourages us this way. Verse 16. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Verses 22 and 23. Further down, he writes, but the fruit of the Spirit is, read them with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's no prohibition against those things. Nothing prohibiting, demonstrating that the Spirit of God is guiding your life and producing his fruit in and through you. If those nine traits, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, faithfulness, sorry, gentleness, self-control, if those are not present, if they are not growing in your life, then somehow you are resisting the control of the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, helping you to live your life in a way that honors the Lord Jesus. Somehow you're dragging your heels. Somehow there's something messing you up on that. How many have heard of DUI? What's DUI, John? Driving under the influence. Thank you very much. Driving under the influence. Jesus wants you, he wants to issue you a WUI. Walking under the influence of the Spirit of God. Finally, as my God, Jesus deserves my witness. You ever have days you say, I don't know why Christ included somebody like little old me in his plan for showing him to the world. I feel pretty doggone inadequate and incompetent. Sometimes I feel like my voice is a weak voice for him. Did anybody ever feel that way? Feel kind of... Okay, two people admitted it. One person smiled and nodded. So some of you are fibbing. Yeah, I think we all feel that way sometimes. I'm just not up to the task. And you know what? You're not. But he is. He is. Truth is, Jesus has called us to bear witness of his love and his grace, to speak to people about his death, burial, resurrection for their sins, his triumphant return. There he is. He manifests himself in a locked room to his disciples. So, are you purposeful? Are you intentional in telling others outside of saving faith about the Lord Jesus, your Christ, your God, who wants them inside? Are you faithful in doing that? If not, you should become that way. Luke 24, 46. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Libby, Montana." Beginning in Jerusalem. Verse 48 is really loud. You are witnesses of these things. You are. You are. You are. In your witness, Jesus your God, as you witness for him, he deserves your very, very best intentional efforts. Homework section B, aka heart work. Hang on, got an extra slide. Where did it go? Did it evaporate? Hang on. Yeah, see, this must be important stuff, or our enemy would not be messing us up like this. There it is. Today or tomorrow, write out a prayer to God about how your worship, your walk, and your witness are going to start reflecting more and more your faith in him as God. Write it out. It'll take about one page of notebook paper. Unless you write bubble letters, and then it'll take two. Then, pray your prayer. Write out your prayer of how you're going to improve, and then pray your prayer. And then start living out your prayer. It's really simple. Lord, I plan to do this. With your help, I plan to do this. Here's how I plan to grow up and do better in these areas. And then pray it, and then do it. Faith family, Jesus is our Lord. If he is your Savior, he's your Lord, and he is your God. He is our Lord and God. If you claim him to be that, then your life and your attitudes, how you live, how you love people, ought to reflect your commitment to him, okay, be still, hold on to your seats. And in fact, they currently do. How you live your life, present tense, reflects your commitment to the Lord. But praise God, day by day, every day, we can grow. We can improve. He's at work in us to do that. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. You're not going to be left sitting still. You're not going to be left soaking in. If you feel like you have mediocre days, you don't stay that way. Because day by day, moment by moment, God is in the process of reforming us into the likeness of His Son, conforming us to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. So as time goes and we grow over time, we become more and more and more intentional in serving the one we call our Lord and our God. We can improve. We can, hallelujah, live for the Lord Jesus Christ on purpose. More and more every day. Pray with me now. Lord, we love You so much. There is hope for even us. Some days we feel, Lord, like, whew, that's a big, big task. And it is a big, big task to live on purpose, to live continuously for You, to focus on You each moment, to be intentional, to be in Your presence, Lord. And we thank You that it is possible and that You want it. And through the guidance of Your Holy Spirit, His presence, we can. So, Lord, we thank You for that. And we say it in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.